be hopefully, if nothing arises, that's the nature of our work, our last meeting for the year. But anything can happen between now and the 31st of December. We are supposed to have if you look at the agenda, honourable members, Ms. Clay was supposed to brief us this morning, and we were also looking at the adoption of committee reports and minutes. Last week we couldn't adopt the minutes because it was quite hectic in the committee. Now, with Nestle that hasn't arrived yet, I've been approached by the Children's Institute just to give us a small briefing on the regulations on the extensions of the child support grant. You remember the child support grant has been extended? So there's an issue in terms of the regulations that needs to be published before they can activate the payment. I think you all got the research report from the institute that they've made in collaboration with other stakeholders on the impact that the CSG has on children that are receiving it, but also the impact it has on families. And I'm going to give, if with your consent, is that fine with members? Okay. I'm going to give over to Ms. Paula Proudlock, just to give us just to raise on the concern that she just has with me on behalf of organization.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. It's quite unexpected because we just wrote the letter yesterday. Basically, what we've given you here in your envelope is the reports that the Children's Institute, Black Sash, and Access did on the testimonies we collected of caregivers and children. And we collected those testimonies because we weren't sure that the decision to extend the CSG was going to be made this year because of the recession and various input we received from the department that they weren't sure they would extend it. So we were quite surprised when it was extended, and we celebrated that decision by handing over this report to your deputy chairperson. And that was 2 weeks ago when the budget speech was done. We handed over the report. The acting chairperson, Vincent, yes. And Vincent came out and he got the testimonies, and he also met Sibu Tiso Mushlangu, who's a 15-year-old boy, who's one of the children who will benefit from this extension. But we're a bit worried about the actual regulations, because to implement Cabinet's decision, the Department of Social Development needs to gazette regulations to the Social Assistance Act. And the exact wording of those regulations could mean the difference, a big difference for 15-year-olds or 16-year-olds who might fall off. Because what we experienced with the 2003 to 2005 extension, when it was done in yearly phases, was that approximately 150,000 children would fall off the grant every year when they turned the cut-off age. They'd have to be without the grant for 5 months, and then their mother and them would have to queue again the next year when the next age came into effect. And so some caregivers and children had to queue 3 times and be without the grant every year for 5 months. And that's because of the way the regulations were worded in 2003. So we're wanting to be able to have a comment to, opportunity to comment on the regulations before they're finalized, but we're not sure that the department is going to gazette them for comment, because they didn't gazette them for comment in 2003. So we're wanting to appeal to Parliament's assistance to ensure that they are gazetted for comment, so that the stakeholders and also Parliament can engage with the actual detail of how the regulations will be drafted. There's a discussion going on between cabinet, between the Minister of Social Development and Treasury as to how to word the regulations, and that's influenced quite a lot by the available budget. And there's three or four options on the table as to how those regulations should be worded. But we're not sure what the chosen option is until we actually see those draft regulations. There's one option that children born after the 1st of January 1995, once they get on the system next year, they stay on until they're 18, so they don't fall off. And then the other option is that they do it exactly the same as the 2003 regulations, which is children under 16 qualify as of the 1st of January, but when they turn 16, say for instance in August, they fall off, and then the next year they have to re-register. That's your second option. And then the third option is that we say children born as of the 1st of April 1994 and under 18 qualify from 1st of January next year, and they stay on for the next 3 years. And that third option is quite an attractive option because it means that all the children born from the month of the elections, what you call the born-free generation, they would then all get on to the CSG and stay on for the next 3 years. If you use Treasury's option of 1995, there'll be some 15-year-olds who won't qualify next year, which is actually a retraction of Cabinet's statement, which was that all children under 16 would qualify next year. So I think what we're asking is for Parliament to supervise these regulations with the Department, because Parliament delegated the decision in the Social Assistance Act to the Minister, and so Parliament retains the authority to actually supervise that delegation. But we are aware that you leave on Friday, so we're not sure how that would happen. But one way is if it's gazetted for comment, then both Parliament and civil society can actually engage with the exact wording. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Proudlock, for that insight. I think we were all really excited about the extensions, but we didn't really give, as a committee, we haven't had any of the time to really reflect on the regulations and how they will impact on the children. Now, the committee's first priority is to see that children are not disadvantaged by the by the extension. And this brings a new dimension or draws the committee to an aspect that we really haven't thought about. You really wanted to say something? Oh. Members, what I can do is for me to make a copy of the letter to members so that you can just see the argument, but I'm sure you've also listened very attentively. Mm-hmm. So what the Children's Institute is proposing is that with effect from the 1st of January 2010, that should be written into the regulations. A child who is under 18 years and who was born after the 1st of April 94, be eligible for the support grant. That will ensure that no child is disadvantaged. You know, it's like going to school, you have to hold your child a year back because he was born a bit early or a bit late. That we, with this, you really make sure that all children are covered. And you... Can we get some discussions or comments from the members on this matter? How would you wish to pursue this? When I look at the heads, you all agree with the principle. You agree with the Children's Institute on the principle itself. The issue of the regulations that needs to be published for public comment. Can you do it two ways? The committee resolves on the fact that this is what we want to see. Mm-hmm. We agree with this, that this is the resolution with effect from the 1st of January. All children born after 1st of April, they benefit, right, from the extension. But that we also, can the chairperson then engage in writing with the minister on the regulations issue to open it up for public comment.
Okay.
No, then they'll be 19, isn't it? Paula, can you just give clarity to us on that?
No, they will still be under 18, but we chose 1st of April as a compromise because we know that Treasury is asking for 1st of January 1995, and that's based on their available budget. And so at first we suggested 1st of January 1994, which the Honourable Member has brought up as a preferable position, but because we know there's a budget that's a bit set in stone, we went for the compromise of 1st of April because that was also the date of the elections. But if this committee wants to go for 1st of January 1994, that would be the preferable position for children. Should I say that again?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
The position of 1st of January 1994 would be the preferable position for children because it would mean that all of those under 18 would qualify. Treasury is proposing the 1st of January 1995. And so we went for a compromise and we offered 1st of April 1994 because we know that the budget might become a factor. But if this committee would prefer 1st of January 1994, we'd support that because that is the preferable position for children. You will then have to negotiate with Treasury on available money. The Minister of Finance has to concur in these regulations, so they almost have a veto over those final regulations. So they will play quite a role in making the decision.
Well, I think in
so it covers what you said, Honourable Lamula. Honourable Member Kupane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine was just saying that we just need to make sure that each and every child who's already on the system until the age of 18 must remain on the system to benefit the grant until he reaches 18 years. That will be the principle that we need to ensure that, irrespective of the date and whatever.
We'll then slightly amend it to say that, which then obviously implies that from the 1st of April 2000 and from the 1st of January 2000 and from 1994, all children that are born then, from the 1st of January, they should be on the system. It will then cover all children that are 18. That we want the issue of the regulations to be published for public comments, and we'll think of that later today. we'll then be in touch. And then it has to be gazetted. I think the same goes for the Older Persons Act. The regulations have not been gazetted. It's been ages. We've been waiting. It's been with Treasury. So I think... We should I think this is we can write a letter to the Minister of Finance, can't we? We can write to any minister because it has a direct impact. So can we also write a letter to the Minister of Finance on both these issues and to the Minister of Social Development on this matter. Okay? And then CC it to the DG and to the acting CEO of the firm. Okay. Thank you very much, Paula.
Okay,
he's drowned in chocolate somewhere. I'm sure he's still at the airport. Sorry. Honourable members, while we're waiting for Nestle to join us, we can go to our report, and we'll go through the draft annual report, or would you like to go through the minutes first? Let's do the minutes with the minutes of the annual report. Start on the minutes of the 13th of October. Can we go to page 2? Is there any corrections on page 1? Page 2. Anything on page 2, honourable members? Coming. Thank you. We agree on page. Any corrections? Yes. Let's go to 3. Page 4. I think we should just look at the...
page 4. Are we fine with page 4?
Yes.
Okay, page 5. Page 6. I think if we look at the condom use day, there was a referral to the Femidel that is not readily available. I think that was one issue that we just should put in. The female condom. No, it wasn't very cool. Oh, okay. Is it the last sentence? On female mortality.
Wow.
I'm sure you can get it from the UNFPA's website. Yeah. But we can get it from the UNFPA's website, Saving Mothers. But we can also get it. Yeah, the content person of the material research, and she can try to get it there. Yeah. Would you all like it, members, to have the Saving Mothers? Yeah. Because we're not doing well with our indigicides reducing female mortality. Our women are still dying too much at birth. At giving birth. Page 6. I've also gotten some websites from the UNFPA. I'll email it to all of you on websites on reports. Today, some reports on female mortality and programs.
I think we should come up to the entry for the sponsor, provide funding to
I'm talking about the under the heading that is about Krista Kruger.
Yeah.
This tool.
Yeah.
In terms of international engagement. So if we can make a follow up on the briefing of the portfolio committee by the chief director on the issue of international engagement. Make a follow up then.
Okay.
On the briefing. Same page 6. That engagement, international engagement,
yeah,
by the chief director to brief the portfolio committee.
Can I just say, I think what we should also, what was said in that, on point 4, the last bullet, the committee noted that, now in number 4, the fact that we've upgraded family, primary health care, secondary health care, but our maternal mortality rate has not really improved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one issue that they raised was also the complications of women die of complications when they are HIV positive,
mm-hmm,
at birth, at giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons. Okay. Yeah. You know, page 8? Oh, okay. You know what? It's the cover of the name. I'll just read it. Okay. Page 8. Some kind of food. Well, if you don't have money in the city, that's what happens. Is this the newsletter?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not gonna go there. But I'm sure. But we all got the presentation. Just check the presentation. Can we go to page 8? Page 9. If we go to page 10, also the road to hell is paved with good intentions. This is not the case of the committee. They wanted to visit two provinces before they leave, so it was definitely not possible. So the Eastern Cape visit will have to stand over. Honourable members, do you have a minute? On page 10. Let's put in your mic. Tina Turner was in the second paragraph. Oh, yeah. It's the first class. Thank you, Oliver Machas. Anyone else to take them? Thank you. We're now on the 20th of October. First page is just attendance. Anyone that has been left out or incorrectly recorded. Can we go to page 2 or your page 1? Page 1, agenda. Page 2. Page 3, are you on page 3? Mm-hmm. Okay, I was just thinking under point 11 that he said he then outlined their various educational interventions. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, page 3,
yeah.
Bullet point 11.
Why do we have different documents?
You've got yours will be on page 2.
Because either we have two documents in circulation.
Yeah. Yes. Does your paragraph 10, through these, they created a poster campaign? That's number 9.
And there's a heading of during the direction which is committing error. That's what we've got as the last paragraph.
Secretary, why does those members accept this talk? Minutes.
I'm not sure, Chair. I'll do the minutes, then forward them to you. Let's call an advisor. Then she returns them to me, then I give them to the concurrent, to the assistant. I'm not sure what happened.
But I mean, there's 1 point missing.
Yes.
In your minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even my minutes, the committee numbers.
If we send those minutes back, it will be sorted out. And if it be a case of point that it doesn't happen again. Because you told that the members need to be checked by the secretary.
Yeah.
That it's the correct minutes.
Yeah.
So let's send this back for the correct minutes to be seen.
Can we do this? Because it's going to delay the issues of the minutes. that they sort this out during the newsletter presentation and then come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's give our minutes back. But we also noted the fact that there should be quality control in the committee secretary side on the quality of women.
But do you have a question here?
Can I ask this? Why don't we leave this for first? There's no deadline.
Not really.
Can I ask members to look at this report? And then on our first meeting, we'll approve it?
Yeah.
Is that fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Members, just before we go over to the other issues, there's a community chest is an NGO, a very old NGO in the Western Cape. It has a twilight team run, and it will take place on Tuesday, the 8th of December, on the Grand Parade. And they say we should challenge our colleagues to enter. And by doing this, if you enter, you will be helping many social welfare and development agencies working in the HIV and AIDS field, supported by the community chest. Parliament is also encouraging staff participation, and they will sponsor team participants if we want to participate. I'm not actually a running person. So it's a team run, a twilight team run. I'm sure you can also take a walk for charity. Yeah. So it's on the 8th, and it's beginning the Grand Parade. So whoever's interested, they can just come and pick up this contact number. That you can okay. Can we go over to just welcome the following? Nestle have asked to come and leave us now. We're using Nestle using chocolate, baby's milk, and all other products. And Nestle they want to share with us the efforts to contribute towards poverty eradication and the possible public-private partnership model with government. And also in terms of creating shared value business rationale. So they've come to come and brief us on what they are doing from their social investment side to plow back into our community and how effectively they can do it. But I'm sure they will also tell us what they do expect from the committee in terms of what role do they want the committee to play and helping them to assist them in really achieving a realistic impact in reducing poverty in our country. Can the members of NESLA please approach the table and then introduce themselves, especially the leader of the delegation.
Apologies for coming late. We had a flight issue. I'm Ravi Pillay, Public Affairs Manager for Nestle South Africa, and my colleague Pindelwa Mda is the head of the Nutrition Business Unit for the region, and Mosadisi Mokwena is the Stakeholder Relations Manager for Nestle South Africa. Just in terms of schedule, maybe we'd just like to know what is our time allocation, just so that we could, I think, sharpen our agenda just to suit accordingly.
1 hour.
1 hour. Okay, great. Okay, so what I would propose then, we'd go over the presentation, I think, fairly quickly, and then we'll talk about the NorthCap project, which is spearheaded by Nestle. And before that, Mosadisi will give us the rationale that we're talking about from a creating shared value project. And then I'll also chip in and talk about one pilot project that we are doing at the moment in Zandvoort, where we're combining a intervention from a nutrition point of view together with enterprise development. So maybe without further ado, I think I'll just kick in very quickly into the overview of the company for those of you who are not really aware of what Nestle in South Africa is all about. Do we have a control for the... is it in the front? I could come to the front. Yeah. We didn't want to print too many copies, but we've got enough for, I think, at least 2 people per copy. Thank you.
Shared value business principle is a guiding principle for Nestle. We believe that as a corporate citizen, we will always do what is right. And by that, we mean that we will make sure that we create value not only for our shareholders, and these are the people who make sure that there is capital investment in Nestle, but we make sure that we also give back to the communities where we're operating as a corporate citizen. This is a global business principle where each and every, where you find every Nestle operating in each of the markets, and this is every country in the world except for Northern Korea. This principle is a guiding principle, almost the Bible in itself. And essentially what you're saying is that we have to look at what are the regulatory requirements for whatever country where we're operating. And we look at South Africa, we say we've got big economic empowerment as one of the regulatory measures that government requires us to abide by. We look at the socio-economic development agenda of the current government to say what is it that we can do as a company to make sure that we respond to the issues that government is talking about. Now, we know that there are a number of challenges, and as a company on our own, we will not necessarily meet or be able to respond to all the challenges. But we believe that through public-private partnerships, including government as the custodian, which holds the mandate for most of the development imperatives, we should be able to at least some of the development imperatives that are required in this country. Our CSV, when we explain it, we say that we need to look at the three most important areas of South Africa, and this is rural development, nutrition, and water. And we know that for most of our communities, especially in rural areas, they're still battling with all the three elements of nutrition. And we're saying that socio-economic development on its own will not necessarily respond to all these issues, because when you're doing that, for the most part, you're only giving either funding to NGOs or communities without necessarily giving them the wherewithal for them to be able to create livelihood for themselves. So our CSV model basically says that we're going to look at the value chain in terms of us doing business. And what does that mean? If you're going to be using, for instance, milk to make formula for children, or we're using milk to make some of our milk-based products, we're going to source that milk or some of it at least from black farmers. We currently have a program that I will talk to later on in Harrismith, where there's 29 black farmers. We have built in the infrastructure. We have made sure that they've got the kind of quality assurance that government requires. We put in milk sheds for them. We're currently working on seeing whether or not we can work with the local municipality there to put in electricity. And we do that because we believe that we can build one, their livelihoods, but they can also provide us with services that ordinarily we'd not get. The Chicory Initiative is another rural development initiative that we just started in the Vienen area in Ladysmith. And with that one, we're saying chicory is one of the materials that we use for our re-coffee. Chicory has not been grown in South Africa, at least not by black farmers. There is chicory South Africa which does it. But if you're going to have to build at least a product that will make sure that we continue to have a material for our for re-coffee, for instance, we have to start looking at the possibility of growing chicory locally, because 80% of our chicory currently is grown in, we get it from Pakistan and India. So what we've done with chicory is we look at those black farmers who currently have at least 1 hectare of land. We go in, we provide them with the inputs, we carry all the costs, and we ensure that we teach them how to grow the product itself. We're currently talking with agriculture to make sure that we at least take a couple of those farmers overseas so that they can see how chicory looks like, what it looks like, what it takes to actually grow it, to dice it, to tube it, and how the end product looks like that we as Nestle would require for our product. Cindy will talk to us about the Nestle Orphans and Vulnerable Children's Assistance Program.
As a nutrition division, we believe that it is important for us to play a role in terms of helping to improve the nutritional status of the communities where we live. Now, we know that malnutrition, not only infant malnutrition, but maternal malnutrition is a major problem in our country. So with the HIV and AIDS, we've actually seen a lot of orphans that are currently not being given the proper nutrition that is needed. And just to share some statistics with you, in South Africa, we have close to 1 million births per annum. And what is happening is that 150,000 of the babies are not breastfed at birth, and they are not necessarily given proper breast milk substitutes. And what happens at 3 months, this figure increases from 150,000 to about 450,000. So when you look at the improper alternatives that are given, unfortunately, people tend to think that anything that looks like milk is probably suitable for infant feeding, which is not necessarily the case. So you will find that the nutritional composition is very far from the human milk. So if orphans, for instance, do not have their mothers to breastfeed from, they are actually given the improper alternatives. So what we have done as a company, because we are producing infant formula, which is scientifically researched, which will never be better than breast milk, and it will never be equal to breast milk, but the nutritional composition mimics that of breast milk, so that from a protein content point of view, it is similar to breast milk from carbohydrate and the vitamins and minerals that we add. So what we have done is to start the project last year together with the social development in order to help that the orphans and the vulnerable children that they are feeding. We realized that the government was actually buying some of the products from the distributors and the retailers at a higher cost. So we made an offer that we could actually allow the government to buy directly from us at a reduced cost so that they could save the money and be in a position to actually feed more children. So this is what the NorthCap is actually doing in order to help the government feed more children at a reduced cost, but ensure that the children are actually given the product that will help to improve their nutritional status and then reduce infant mortality that we're seeing in the country.
Thanks. I think in terms of the question and answer session, should we address that maybe after the actual presentation? The other aspect that we'd like to touch on is Just in terms of malnutrition, and I think why we're also here is to find out from a social development perspective, what exactly are the initiatives in place, and how can we as Nestle, as the largest food company in the world with a big infrastructure in South Africa and also access to scientific knowledge, how can we constructively partner with any projects that are actually being undertaken? The reason why we've included this part is that currently we are collaborating with GAIN, the Global Alliance for Infant Nutrition. It's a global NGO addressing the issues of malnutrition. And we also at this stage would like to see how, from a Nestle point of view, where we have got a newly launched project which addresses the needs of micronutrient deficiencies amongst children, how could we locate this product and almost tailor-make a solution depending on how we want to address this issue of malnutrition in the community. So I don't know that as a discussion point. At the moment, this particular product is packed in a retail format, but why we're also here is to find out from this committee on how can we almost go back to our value chain to see whether we could repackage this into larger bulk size to allow for distribution to impoverished areas. What would be the whole mechanics around that? At the moment, it's very much a retail solution where you've got the products on shelf. It's called Nido Everyday. But we'd like to also now explore how can we almost readjust our method of packaging and look and feel of it to see how it can form a solid contribution to the malnutrition challenge that we have in the country. And I think the third issue is how can we, at the moment we're cooperating with an agency called HOPE Worldwide in Zandspruit, which is an informal settlement in Johannesburg, and instead of the traditional, I think, donor mentality of private sector in the past, we're now trying to propose and come up with a model of a new type of intervention whereby we would provide some funding for example, the creches in the informal areas, informal settlements, to the caregivers. However, with that would come enterprise training and some kind of skilling of caregivers to also allow them to earn a substantive income within an impoverished community. So I think in essence those are the three key issues why we're here. Firstly, it was just to let you know, give you an overview of the company. Secondly, to talk about the NorthCap program. And then the malnutrition issue from a social development perspective. And then thirdly, this pilot project that we're actually undertaking in Zandspruit at the moment. Thank you. Is there anything that Pandelwa and Matsidisi would like to add?
I think just to mention that while we have the enterprise development element of the business, we also have socio-economic development initiatives that we have around the country. For instance, in the East London area in Tanzania, you've got the Equaling program, which essentially looks at how women and communities or schools particularly can use water effectively in terms of growing their own food to create food nutrition for themselves. A similar project is currently running in the Mpumalanga area, where we basically use the same model to make sure that while we go in and we provide them with the necessary training that is provided by NGOs, but we're also able to leave the kind of capacity building that will ensure that they remain sustainable even when we no longer support the initiative and we continue to support others. We currently have in Cape Town a program called the WOMS program, and I think most of you would be aware of it. Essentially, a soup kitchen model where we're trying to escalate it or to make sure that it progresses to the next level where they can also start generating income instead of just you know, getting a pittance from selling the plates of food a day. But what it essentially does is for all, they're located either within schools or next to clinics where if there are people that are currently taking antiretrovirals, they're able to at least get a meal before they can take the medication. We also have programs for early childhood development, and this essentially looks at crashes in and around the Hammanskraal and Northwest area and parts of Gauteng. We know that most of the children in disadvantaged areas or previously disadvantaged areas go to crashes mainly for to eat, to be taken care of, and to go back home. And what we're saying is that the caregivers need to be capacitated enough for them to be able to provide the kind of entertainment for the kids to be ready for school when they are ready to start, especially grade R or grade 1. We've got, again, in East London, a project called the Haven Wellness, and this is essentially looks like it's a hospice model where people go in when they're very sick. It does not only look after people with HIV and AIDS, but it also looks at people who are suffering either from TB and cancer. And we put in the necessary infrastructure to make sure that the volunteers that work in that hospice are able to provide the care for the people to be able to go back to their communities or their families and formally work again.
I think that concludes the formal part of our presentation, and Chair, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Professor, and thank you for the presentation. I was only three questions for clarity. One, on the skills management, on the skills development and management, but my concern first, Chairperson, is that it's difficult sometimes if there's no pages. Because if you want to refer, now it's a problem. You don't know where to refer, and it's difficult for us because if you have numbered the slides, it is easy therefore for us to peruse. So that is a concern as a person, the pages, the numbering of the pages. So I'm concerned about the slides on SCOCAT, Global Verifying. The issue of disabled, I can see it there. The issue of disabled, I can see there, and also the issue of disabled and black employees. What I'm concerned about are women. It is not specified here if we get any, if we are talking about equity, if we've got any women employed in management and also on the skills development issue. Yes, I'm glad that I can see the disabled and also the black employees, but I'm concerned about women because you don't show here if you've got any women in the scorecard. Secondly, how do you on the issue of theft of the infant formula? What measures therefore are there in place? How do you monitor? I understand that of course, but now I don't know the page, but it refers to the PEEs, something like that, where there are 66 NGOs registered with the program. Now, my concern is that, you see, we have got many reports about the stealing of the infant formula and being sold somewhere in the private. So how do you monitor, therefore, to minimize that the infant formula is not stolen, and then also to stop to prevent that corruption? To minimize that corruption. That's my second question. I think for the time being that is all. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable
thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. On the Ice Cream on Wheels project, is this program or project also running in the rural areas, and especially in the Western Cape, which rural areas, if this program is running in the rural areas? That's my first question. My second question is on warmth, under warmth, target impoverished communities in Western Cape Township. Can you please supply me with a list of these townships that you are having this project? And then on, yeah, I'd like to have a list, because Western Cape is quite geographically very wide. And I've never come across, I'm very honest, I've never come across a project of Nestle in the rural areas. And my constituency is geographically very, very wide. And then on early childhood development, in 2007, and I'm grateful that Nestle did this, spent a day at each creche in December 2007 in commemoration of the 16 days of activism. What was done in 2008, and are you planning anything for 2009? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I'm just worried about something regarding the orphan and vulnerable children assistance program. It is clearly said that under the highlights, 66 NGOs have registered in the program. Is it possible that we can be given the names of those NGOs in terms of the location, which provinces, and what are the name of those the name of those NGOs? The other thing, how many beneficiaries are benefiting from the project? And the other one, it is the ECHO school, where you say the highlights, 15 schools were awarded their international flag for recognition. Is it possible that we can be given the names of those schools? Under WOM, you say that your target, under Nestle involvement since 2004, you supported three teachings and added one more in 2008. We wanted to know how many beneficiaries in those kitchens that you supported, how many beneficiaries of those projects? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, I've got a few questions of my own. I don't know whether our members want to ask questions.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I would like to thank the team for the wonderful presentation. It is good to see that some private companies are doing something to contribute to the communities of our country. But I just want to know, how do you identify the NGOs that you are actually funding? Is there a criteria that you follow, or do you identify areas, or what?
Any other member? Okay. I would like to know, Mr. Belay, what's your social investment budget, especially for 2010, and what are your priorities for 2010? I'm sure you'll be continuing some of your projects that you've started, but just to know the areas. And maybe just to repeat in terms of what you expect of this committee, and just elaborate on each of these.
Should we start answering from the sequence of the question that was asked, okay? My colleagues will also come in on the relevant points. Maybe just to refresh our minds. The first question was, we apologize for the page numbering issue, and the next time we will be here, it will be much more, I think, accurately reflected. On the issue of for women and in the scorecard, Matsidisi is our BEE champion in Nestle South Africa, and she'll just talk to that.
Thank you very much for the question. Behind this slide, there is a lot of analysis that goes into it. As I mentioned, this was a 2008 verification process that we undertook. In top management, we currently have approximately 5 females. 3 of them are black Africans from this country, which means that we do actually get points for that. And one of them sits on our board of directors currently. plans are underway to make sure that we still identify opportunities for those positions that will open up in terms of succession planning to make sure that we have enough females in terms of gender balance in the top management structure of the business. And as you can imagine, that will be the structure that has the least number of people because that is the strategic think tank of the company. But the employment equity has also become a global, I think, strategic objective for the company, where there's a recognition that there aren't that many women across the world that are heading Nestle. And as such, we have also been looked at as a possible pilot to say, how are we managing to make sure that we create a pipeline of women at the bottom to make sure that we feed into all the structures at management level. If you look at our senior management, we also have a skewedness in terms of gender balance, but we're currently making headway in terms of making sure that we meet the target. Middle management and junior management, that is where we find the highest number of females, especially black, Indian colors, and Africans, because of the pipeline that we create through the graduate development program that we initiate as the company.
So just to add on to what Mutiliti has just said, I think one of the women in the top management, I'm one of them, I'm the member of the board, I'm heading the biggest business unit. Usually companies are accused of tokenism, that they are giving roles to people, roles that are not very effective in the company. As you know, we have different businesses. We have nutrition, we have dairy, we have ice cream, we have chocolate, you know, all of them. So I'm heading the biggest business unit, and I've been heading it since 2002. So I'm the member of the board. My division is actually women-dominated because I have dietitians and nutritionists. I actually have 98% women and only 2% men. And then in terms of equity, it's 65% black and 35% white.
I think, thanks. And I think just to add, as you could see from the non-executive board members, we've got three women and three men. So it's quite well balanced in that group. The third question was around the issue of theft of infant formula and what would Nestle do to mitigate that. We spoke briefly a couple of weeks ago. Every couple of weeks you read in the paper there's theft of infant formula. Now there's two aspects to it. There's a theft that takes place from within government warehouses and then also from within a store itself. So when it comes to the theft from the government warehouse point of view, unfortunately from a Nestle point of view, it's somewhat out of its control. But what we are saying is if there are structures that are willing to engage with us from our logistical and supply chain expertise, we would actually like to partner and see how we could mitigate this step. For example, in terms of if government awards a huge tender to Nestle for two truckloads of infant formula, for example, our supply chain, where we've had discussions with them, have indicated that they could phase in the delivery of the infant formula in smaller volumes and so that it's more manageable. That one is a commitment that has been made from the business. And then secondly, when it comes to the tracking and traceability, if, for example, there's a pallet of infant formula found somewhere, Nestle would offer to the police to actually track and batch code that missing stock. And I think thirdly, the other option is to involve our network of distributors to ensure that the infant formula or cereals or whatever other nutrition product goes directly to a clinic. We've got a network of distributors throughout the country in South Africa, and if that is another option to mitigate the temptation of having large stock in a warehouse, then I think we need to engage with the relevant people to see how we could come into that part of the value chain to make sure that we minimize the loss. The ice cream on wheels, that project is at the moment dominantly in Johannesburg, in Gauteng, and we're just starting off in Limpopo. It's a very early stage, and so in Durban. Theoretically, I mean, it's really not in the rural areas. What we're finding is in terms of the ice cream being an impulse type of purchase, generally requires a lot of people in gatherings. Now, through your infrastructure, we'd like to explore if you think that we need to somehow jointly look at these kinds of ideas to stimulate economic activity in those regions. We'd be most pleased to take those decisions or plans further.
But also, sorry, Ravi, I need to mention that at the beginning of the year, we had meetings with both the city of Cape Town and the city of Ekurhuleni, one, to talk about the bylaws, which make it very difficult for these guys to operate within the cities. The different cities have got different bylaws, and we have to abide by each one of them. It becomes a very cumbersome process. Unfortunately, we know that it takes years to actually change a bylaw. But we have at least some commitment to say that they will look into the possibility of allowing us to also operate within the beachfront area where you get the highest number of people at certain times of the year. Ekurhuleni is much more lucrative in that it's warmer all year round, and you even have high volumes of people. The taxi industry works very well with the municipality, and we've been advised that it would be in our best interest to make sure that those people are aware of our presence if we ever think we're going to make this effective and sustainable. But yes, the possibility of actually rolling it out and duplicating the model in other provinces where we currently don't have a presence is high on our agenda, and we're looking at doing that going forward.
So, Ravi, just to add on that, the ice cream on wheels basically is to help the unemployed youth to generate some income for themselves. So the rural areas, the disposable incomes are very low. So the reality is those youth are not going to be able to generate enough income, and then you'll find that there won't be any sustainability. So the ice cream on wheels might work better in urban areas, and then what you probably need to do is to say in rural areas, what would be the most appropriate? Like when you look at a project like Ecolink, rural areas are agricultural in their form, so if they could actually be involved in agricultural activities where they can grow vegetables and get into commercial farming, maybe that would be a better way of engaging the youth and help them to develop income.
Thanks, Pedro. Then the next question was the WANT project and the list of townships where it's located. What's it?
The headquarters of WANT in Cape Town is in Athlone. We look at Khayelitsha, Gugulethu, two parts of Philippi. On average, they feed approximately between 500 and 1,000 people a day, including children.
Thanks. In terms of the ECD question, what are our plans for what happened in 2008 and what are our plans for this year on the 16 days of activism?
What we did for the early childhood development centers last year was introduce a different training model. The University of Pretoria basically takes care of all the theoretical training for the caregivers and the principals, particularly the cooks. What we then did as Nestle was to say, because we've got internal expertise and resources, we'll bring them onto our premises and we'll conduct training that is very practical in approach so that they're able to see how they can actually create different food in terms of look and feel, and to make sure that the kids actually enjoy eating it, particularly vegetables, even within their very limited resources that they currently have. 2008, we saw that successfully being implemented, and we continued again this year. In fact, we're looking at rolling out the model even with those centers that we don't necessarily support or are part of the program. In 2009, this year, we're looking at going to early childhood development centers that are not necessarily supported by Nestle, but that need infrastructure to make sure that they've got the kind of entertainment that the kids require. So what we do is we get employees from the business to volunteer on a day, and we'll go out with contractors, and we'll see whether or not they need either from blankets to a kitchen that will make sure that they are given food on a daily basis. And usually we have approximately 100 employees who go out every day for, let's say, 5 days of all the 10 days of the 16 days of activism to make sure that we do that.
Thank you.
Mine is again on the rural areas. How does the rural areas benefit from this program? Is it only for the urban areas, or do you people go out to the rural areas? Thank you.
we also go out to the rural areas. I think what works better is where we have a presence. For instance, if in our East London factory, we look at an area that is closest to the factory where our employees can actually go there and also volunteer, because without their support, we cannot do that. We currently go as far as, we have a factory in Babelegi, which is in Hammanskraal, so we know that our employees in Babelegi will do that. In Harrismith, it's also a very, not too rural, but I think it's pretty urban in nature. We also request our employees to identify areas there where they believe that they can go in, even outside of the system, in terms of activities, and contribute in terms of skills, knowledge, and expertise. So I think it works better where we actually have a presence, so that we do not spend a lot of money in logistically getting people there. Where we have employees who are currently working in those areas, we make sure that there's an activity in that area.
Thanks. The next question was, the names of the schools that are benefiting with the Eco Schools project that we could commit to emailing back to the committee before the end of the week. The other question was around the NOFCAP program. The NGOs, how did we identify the NGOs and how many beneficiaries are available? I think with some of these questions, we'll need to get back to you. I don't know if Pandelva wants to, not necessarily the beneficiary part, but the process of registration of NGOs, how was it established?
This was together with the National Department of Social Development. So during the launch, it's the NGOs that were already working with the department that were invited to the launch. So what we do, because we want to work through the social development, so already the partners that are there and then people that apply to us directly, we usually ensure that, you know, there is some working relationship together with the government. But in terms of the list, we can also send you the list of all of those NGOs and the numbers that have already benefited, how much they've purchased and how much the government has actually saved by buying directly from us.
Good. The next question was on warmth, once again with the beneficiaries, but I think Matsidisi has already answered that question. And the next, followed by how do you identify NGOs, I think Pandel was already talked about. And then the chair asked a question about the social investment budget and what are the priorities for 2010. In terms of Nestle's, let's call it version of creating social responsibility, or as we like to call it, creating shared value, the idea is very much to operate on very much more sustainable way of benefiting society. In terms of a quantum of number, it's very difficult to give you an answer because many of our projects are also linked to our factories when it comes to, for example, agri BEE, where we encourage black farmers to enter the milk industry. I think the point that we really wanted to make here was that whenever we do engage in any social development projects, the idea is to try and link it to some part of the value chain of the business and how can we constructively affect the society in which we're operating in. And I think one of our key reasons for coming here was also is how do we, for example, with the Zandspruit informal settlement project, with the problems of the creches and the maintenance of the creches, how do you make the creche sustaining? How do you provide the children with a nutritious drink twice a day? And how do we work a model like that? I think that's an area where we, even if there isn't a theoretical budget, we'd like to see how it could work in a constructive way to benefit both the kids and obviously the objectives of the department itself. Then maybe in summary, the chair asked that we just rephrase what we really would like the committee to help with. It's just in terms of a thorough understanding of the NOFCAP program that Nestle launched and if there are any issues that we need to clarify. And then secondly, it is informing you about this very, as we think, interesting and exciting project, pilot project in Zandspruit, which is a combination of HIV caregiving and enterprise development. And then thirdly, how do we locate the product Nido Every Day, which is talking directly to the malnutrition deficiencies in Southern Africa, well, in Africa in general. How do we actually, in a partnership approach, try and get this product to kids who need it in the most efficient and cost-effective way?
Through you, Chair, can I just add on to what Ravi has just done? Our vision as Nestle is to enhance the quality of life. So sometimes we may have a budget for some social investment, and there might be some requests that come through our way during the year that were not budgeted for, but that are in line with our priorities. And in the presentation, you'll probably see that one of the priorities is nutrition, it's education, it's job creation. So from a nutrition point of view, it's important for us to play a role because we think that would contribute in terms of alleviating poverty or reducing infant malnutrition and maternal malnutrition. So those are the areas that are of importance to us. So if, for instance, there are already some projects where the government is already involved, where they are looking for strategic partners, I think it's better for us to actually work with the projects that are already there than for us to actually initiate some projects and work parallel to the government. Because if we work parallel, then we don't achieve the objectives the way we would actually want to achieve. Because I think it's better for us to work together towards a common goal. So the nutrition, the job creation, the water, and education are the key priorities for us to enhance the quality of life.
Okay,
I'll get over to the members now for questions. For more questions, there was a lot of hands going up. Member Nelson or Hart, Kenya.
Mira, I am venture with government with the need of product.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, what I'd like to know is that when it comes to Nestle itself, you know, the way I'm listening to what your company is doing, it seems as though that you only work in areas where you have an existing factory. But to me, when it comes to Nestle, all communities buy Nestle products. Because first can look at your map and you only see your projects at certain areas. Now you are speaking to, you want to, you know, be in government, you know, and be strategic partners within social development. So that you can perhaps, you know, show or do your social responsibility where they are. But governments are so everywhere and everyone buys products. So how are you going to extend it to the other areas? Because I don't see nothing for Port Elizabeth. You know, things like that. Like, I come from Port Elizabeth. I see nothing in the Free State. So how in the future are you going to provide services or extend your services to other areas? Thank you.
I think I have only one question, but in addition, I have a recommendation. In the case of early childhood development, how do you popularize it? Now, I'm thinking of the rural areas we've just talked about, because they are always at the back of all these problems, whereas they are the very vulnerable. how do you popularize this early childhood development so that the rural areas can also benefit? And then my recommendation is that on the issue of theft, of corruption on infant formula and cereals, if you can make the stock taking and auditing on the NGOs at least even quarterly, so as to check so that they don't just run their own team there. Maybe that is where the corruption of starts. Stop taking the auditing of the formula. Secondly, and another recommendation is to have the outreach program to be clear to the rural areas so that we can broaden the base where there's need. That is where the need is in the rural areas, because they are ignorant, they don't know where to go, they don't know what to do. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members have taken my questions, but I want to say, let it not be only on rural areas. It should be all over the provinces, because Nestle is all over the country. And I will suggest to the Nestle that they should use maybe our constituency office or the local government at the local level, so that they bring only one or two from the staff, so that they reduce the logistics issues. They bring two staff at that local level, and then we as the public representative council from national to local, we bring volunteers to work for that, so that this thing can fit to all the people, because we really need it. It's very important. Thanks.
I think what the committee needs to say is that the committee appreciates the work that Nestle has done. I think especially in your ECD sector, but also you've mentioned the issue around jobless youth, the training and capacity building. I think the issue of employee wellness in the company is very important to keep your workforce motivated and looking after their mental wellness as well as their physical wellness. I think those issues are all issues that go together in one way or the other. But I think what we would like to see, and if I can summarize the input that members have given, is a kind of a, you know, that you are not a government department, you're a company in the business of making money. But you've also embarked on a corporate social investment campaign and invested money for quite a few years now. I think it's part of the donor square here. When you really approach the corporate world in terms of how to together work with you in tackling poverty and the developmental issues that hampers reduction of poverty. Now, I would also see you making this presentation to MINMEC. We have your ministers and MECs for and the MINMEC, which is chaired by the Minister Edna Molewa and the Deputy Patabule Kadmini, where you have the provinces, as our members have said, because you have a specific there's a specific focus on province. And they will tell you what is the strength of our provincial department. They can precisely tell you, even working with Statis A, where is your poverty pocket? You know, instead of a perception. You can actually be dealing with stats, you look at your population size, you look at your challenges, and then out of your program you can see what kind of intervention you can make. So it won't be an emotional decision, but it will be a decision based on facts. But also, Nestle will walk away from the project knowing that you've made impact. And what benefit you also have with working with the government department is your quality assurance issues will be addressed, where you know that you will be getting value for money because those controls will then be in place. And then government can do that work for you in or work with you in that regard, because it also takes a lot of pressure off you in terms of your in terms of getting value for money. So someday will be a shared responsibility. And at the end of the day, you will know that in terms of your targets, if you have targets in terms of alleviating poverty in that section, in that area, I think if you, especially if you look at ECD, the fact that you've trained ECD practitioners, the cooks, is very important, because the cooks need to be certified. Mm-hmm. They need to go through special training. It's not just the old days when you take someone off the street and just say, come and cook. So everyone needs specialized training, and that is a lot of money if you do it. So I think the fact that Nestle has taken that initiative should be lauded. So I would say there is a focus now on ECD in government. The registration of sites, of ECD sites, is really important. The fact that those sites are regulated, whether that ECD site is in a squatter camp or wherever, really helps. But then this is where your MPs around the table come in, because we all represent different constituencies. And as Honourable Member Mafole said, we have constituency offices. So we are at the coalface of poverty, of all those social challenges and economic challenges that you have. And that is also where we can be of assistance to you. What we also do, the rights of committees are entrenched in the Constitution of South Africa. So the Department of Social Development with the Minister reports to us on the expenditure, but we also have the right to visit any facility without prior arrangement. So no one can deny us access. And if we know about these projects, and I think that's where the partnership can also come in. If we know about these projects, we can make sure that the people that are supposed to be benefiting from the project is benefiting, without it becoming a political football, you understand, or a bone of contention within the community. And I think if we all those parties are brought on board, we can really go somewhere. And I think that what you said in terms of your plans, you don't have fairly planned to extend. It's basically building on of what you've already done. And I think from the members' side, would you like to have a follow-up meeting with them in this regard? Or will there be individual interaction with them?
On a personal level, especially for my area, for my group,
okay. Honourable Member Kopane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would suggest that because they should come in, we should have another meeting with them again, because as a portfolio committee, because it's also our responsibility. If you remember, we still have the Millennium Goals by 2015. We need to halve the poverty in South Africa, and it was a statistic that was released last week. 1 in 4 children in South Africa is malnourished in South Africa. So, which means 30% to 40% of our population, they went hungry every day in their stomach. So it's a challenge that is facing us. So I think we need to sit together and strategize how can we help each other, like our person has already alluded some of the most important things. So this relationship must go on. We still have to sit down. Thank you.
I think just before I give up, because you're going to have the last word, Mr. Delegation, Honourable Matuma.
Thank you so much, Chair. I didn't hear anything about the bursaries, whether the Nestle has bursaries for children, much as they are looking at the welfare of the orphans and vulnerable children, because at the end of the day, we would like to know if they have bursaries, what criteria do they use to assist those children who cannot go to school or cannot go to tertiaries maybe. Thank you.
I think you've got quite a lot of things to respond to. I think Honourable Member Kupani just touched on the issue of the NDG 4 and 5 in terms of your reduction of human mortality, of infant mortality rate. It's quite a concern. There's no reduction in the female mortality rate in the country. It's actually climbing, and it's quite scary. Same with the infant mortality rate, it's not the way we want it. We still have incidences of kwashiorkor that is picked up by people visiting our public healthcare facilities. And those that are got undetected is out there, those cases are out there. That's why I want to agree with members that you should also look at areas where you don't have factories, where your poverty levels and is challenging. If NISA can make an intervention in an area where you have, where you've worked with the health department of health, where you target an area where you have cases of kwashiorkor from children from 0 to 24 months or 36 months, I think the impact will be phenomenal, because that is such a crucial time in a child's life. Because children don't suffer from kwashiorkor when they enter primary school, because then they get they fall in with a food security program at the school. But the cases is quite alarming when it comes to your children in the early development ages. And not all our communities have access to ECT. So that's why I think it's so much appreciated, the fact that you've made that investment in ECT. But if we can work together, because social development is the leading department when it comes to ECT, early childhood development. And obviously then it's a good driver, because they provide ECT to children from 0 to 5. And then you looked at your other issues that you've mentioned. So I think the committee would like to engage you again. And I'm sure one meeting is not enough for us to sit down and talk about this, the challenges confronting us. I think when you look at 2010, you will see government announcing new priorities, and we need to make sure as a committee that government adheres to those things. I think we would priorities. I think we are, as a committee, we would also like to hear from you. What is government? How is government as a partner in these processes that you've said that you are engaged in? And are you getting the kind of qualitative responses or cooperation that you are supposed to in terms of this project? That, I think, is also one of the facts that we, reasons why we need to engage with you. Thank you.
The question on NIDO, is there a project? I think the NIDO every day, and this is basically our first formal engagement with the government structure, with Parliament, and we're hoping that arising out of this, there could be some advice on how we actually unpack this and take it further. Then, in terms of the location of the work that Nestle does, I think we take that point quite seriously, and within the constraints of resources, I agree, it's a valid point. And I don't know if Matsudisi wants to add anything in that regard.
I think just that since the beginning or the end of last year, we've been looking at ways to actually infiltrate the entire country, because we also expected to work in the four regional countries. So whatever it is that we're doing here, we also have to go into Botswana and into Swaziland. So we know that some of the models have actually worked. And that's why we're banking on the fact that because we know from conception to implementation how the process unfolded, it will be easier for us to go into provinces, even where we don't necessarily have a factory, for us to be able to do that. And hence, I think the commitment to want to partner with a government department mainly, even NGOs, but more so the government, because you already have, as you said, statistics in terms of which are the nodal areas, where is the most need, where are the most challenges, and are there any groups that can actually work with us to make sure that we meet those challenges. So we currently have to do another five-year planning process in terms of where do we want to be going forward. The ECD model, it works. Everybody, you know, understands the importance of early childhood development, and therefore there's nothing that's stopping us to go into the Northwest Province, for instance, and make sure that we implement it there. So that kind of commitment we can actually look at. And again, I think we have a project that we started to nationalize, which was very concentrated in Gauteng. It is the Nutrition Awards. It's basically food gardens at the most basic form. And when we started, they were located within Gauteng, and we said that there's an opportunity for us to actually work with all the national provincial departments of agriculture to make sure that, one, they know about the program, two, the program speaks to the needs of those communities. And I think that we can proudly announce that the national winner comes from Limpopo province this year. The second runner-up for the schools come from Atlantis. We actually flew them into Johannesburg so that for the award ceremony, which was held on the 6th. And those are some of the initiatives that we're doing to make sure that we go into areas where ordinarily we don't necessarily have a presence, but with provincial governments, especially the director for food security, be able to respond to some of those initiatives. So I think there's that realization to say that we have to do that.
I would also like to add, maybe we have been working a lot with the Minister of Health, so I don't know what kind of working relationship the Minister of Health has with the Minister of Social Development. I currently have a team of 60 medical delegates that are healthcare professionals. They are either nurses or dietitians or nutritionists. They are actually located around the country. So maybe what I could do is to probably get the details of the provincial people, because these people are based in the provinces. They are currently working with the Minister of Health. They are giving nutrition education. They are doing a whole lot of projects. So sometimes they do purification of the clinics, or in some preschools, for instance, they've actually provided water in cases where there wasn't even, you know, sinks for basic hygiene for children. And we've been working in areas where they give nutrition education to nurses and to doctors, and I think maybe we could probably extend this. But the only problem is that because my division also handles infant formula, you will probably know about the WHO codes, that sometimes there is skepticism that when people that are handling infant formula, when they go and meet people, they might not talk about other issues. They might talk about infant formula, but we actually have very, very strict guidelines. So I think because of that, there's a problem that even when we want to give education, basic education that has absolutely nothing to do with infant formula, we actually send they tend to think that we actually have an ulterior motive, and I think maybe this is something that we actually need to go through. So we would like to have some sort of memorandum of understanding that what is it that the social development does, when Nestle could actually participate freely, and we respect the WHO code, we promote breastfeeding. And we understand that in cases, for instance, where you're talking about children that are not of breastfeeding age, we need to help people understand what is actually needed by those children in order to ensure that we don't have malnutrition. And we also have statistics to prove that non-breastfed children are not necessarily formula-fed, but they are given a whole lot of improper substitutes. It's just that we don't have time today. Otherwise, I do have some slides that can show you in terms of the research that we do to look at the things that are given to infants If you just look at water, for instance, 80% of mothers in South Africa will give water on its own to infants. And we know that in most cases that water is actually not pre-boiled. And the question is, how do they give water, for instance, to a one-week-old baby? So if it is through the bottle, is that bottle properly sterilized? And then how do people know how to actually take care of the utensils and all of those things? So we do develop material that, unfortunately, I don't have a lot, but some of the material that we develop that we give to healthcare professionals in order for them to use, because we're only allowed to talk to healthcare professionals. We're not allowed to talk to healthcare workers. So there's a difference in definition between healthcare worker and healthcare professional. So right now we're only limited, we can only talk to healthcare professionals. So if within the social development there are healthcare workers, we can only talk to them through the Department of Health currently. So those are some of the challenges that we're faced with.
Thanks. And maybe just the last, to add on to Pandelwa's point was, we are also members of Food Bank in South Africa, and social development is also one of the board members. We sit on the board. So via that instrument, which is a national structure, we try and also penetrate the areas that don't have access. We take the recommendations of the TEFT in terms of auditing and stock taking. However, you know, that really is, I think, a government responsibility. So it's really, we wouldn't mind assisting at some, in terms of maybe training and those kinds of inventory management. But we make that offer to this house that we can pursue that. And then, can we ask some questions for clarity at this forum? Who would be the constituency representative for Zandspruit in Johannesburg? It's just about 20 kilometers north of Randburg, south of Randburg, Zandspruit.
And Midrand. She's near Midrand.
Ah, that's Midrand. Okay.
Yeah. But she can obviously then, if you look at the committee, she can find out for you.
Oh, okay.
But if you can link up with Honorable Menakraba, she can sort you out.
Good. Good. And then just a clarity question on the social development. We believe that there is, you've got these centers where food is dispersed to indigent children and teenagers. What is the success of that program, and what does it constitute in terms of nutrition, and is there any assistance that we could provide in that regard?
You must remember, we are the committee that has oversight over the Department of Social Development and the various provincial departments. But what we do, can you switch off your mic?
Sorry.
What the department has is they've got a drop-in food bank where they distribute food to needy families. Then they also, you also have a social relief budget within the Department of Social Development, as well as your South African Social Security Agency, where they give food parcels to people awaiting grant applications, but also families in need. The food parcels are selected in consultation with the Department of Health through a dietitian. Usually it's mostly dry foods because it's very little, very small percentage of poor people that has refrigeration facilities. So it would be your dry, it would be your mush or stampili, it will be your beans, it will be rooibos tea, that is a better option than your other teas. It will be, so you look at the nutritional value, but then there's also an aspect of looking at personal hygiene, and so we'll make, the department will make provision for washing powder, soap, because poor people don't have money for those things. When you have to choose between food and soap to wash yourself with, you go for the food. So the food parcel is designed to really keep to sustain the family. Although in some cases it's not enough, where the need is extremely big. So that is they work with the Department of Health to look at the content of the, but also you look at the cultural foods. So what people eat is in that area is also very important.
Matsudisi, before I conclude from my side, do you have any particular questions in terms of partnerships or way forward?
No, I think that will be clarified at the next session.
Okay.
Yeah.
You okay? Yeah. Sorry, may I just formally thank you so much? I think it's really a privilege to be given this opportunity with our oversight committee, and we've learned a lot in terms of roles and functionality, and we're just hoping that in terms of the way forward, the partnership approach, I think, is the only way where government can leverage private sector to align the development goals to ensure that we could combat this scourge of malnutrition and all other ailments and social ills that we have in society. So highly appreciated the advice that you gave us as well. We've made detailed notes which we will exchange back and forth, and we've made a couple of commitments here as well. So, yeah, just once again to say really thank you. We highly appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Funesly. I think it's been highly informative, and I think your targeted approach is really good. I would like to make a proposal that members have seen the mapping of the projects to it, and that they link up with Nestle and have a look at those projects. We've interacted with several other corporate bodies on the programs that they have embarked on. So we are fairly new committee, so it's also an exposure to us. And would like to visit some of your projects, if possible, and then just take the relationship with the committee from there. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for coming. Could we have copies, Ms. Nida, of these things that you've sent us? I think feeding your baby safely, answers to the best milk substitutes, and these issues would be invaluable to any MP in the constituency offices, where they could give it to mothers and parents and young girls and interact with the community. If you could send some of those information facts to the committee, we would really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Your business, your details?
Sorry, there was a question that Honourable MP next to me pointed out I didn't answer, the bursary issue. Sorry. Well, I think on a generic level for bursaries, apart from the Nestle Nutrition bursaries, when it comes to ECD and early childhood, we don't really have a system in place. But on the nutrition side, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, we're currently giving some scholarships and bursaries, you know, for people who want to further their education in nutrition. And the reason is we believe that we have a huge role to play in terms of dealing with malnutrition. So when you look at the healthcare professionals, if you look at nurses, and if you look at even the curriculum of doctors, out of the 6 years they study, if they get 5 lectures on nutrition, that's the most. So as a result, we don't have deep knowledge in terms of nutrition within our healthcare facilities. So that's an area that we have chosen. That is why we have medical delegates that are currently going around giving some nutrition education. And people within the public sector want to further their education. We do have scholarships that we're offering. That's what we're doing so far. But also we've also looked at some of the skills that are very scarce. We've also started sponsoring some children that are doing engineering at university because we believe that's another area where there's a shortage. Other than the bursaries, what we do when people graduate, we give them some learnership opportunities in our factories and in our depots. And on a yearly basis, now we're taking about 50 children that we take through a management program. And then after that, they could stay with the company or they could actually pursue careers elsewhere. So that's what we're doing so far. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your input. We'll now excuse the Nestle delegation. So we can just have a few announcements.